Welcome to the first episode of the Bloodstream Podcast, live coming to you from our new Bloodstream Media Studio in Hollywood, California. I am your host, Patrick James Lynch, and this is the very first live stream from the Bloodstream Podcast. So thanks for checking us out, whether live here on Facebook or subsequently as a video on the Bloodstream Media Facebook page, or maybe you're listening to this as audio, as a podcast on Apple, Spotify, or in any of the many places the Bloodstream Podcast can be found. Wherever you're hearing or seeing this, and whenever you are, thanks for joining Bloodstream. Greg, I am very excited that we are finally starting this thing.
I am thrilled.
Tell me, what has been your highlight so far of 2020, Greg? I've been thinking a lot about the new year. What's one thing so far from this year that you would say is a highlight?
We're a month in, and I've been in Los Angeles a month now. So I would say that living in LA has been the highlight for me, and starting my professional and adult life after 22 years of being a child.
Wow, great answer. What would you say is the biggest difference between Philadelphia and LA?
It's so hard to explain, but it's just simply the vibe. The energy is just different. It's a little bit more mellow. It's a little bit more measured, I would say.
I would say that's
people are
fair.
A little less rash, but there's also a downside of that where Philly has some grit to it that LA may not.
Were you watching the Super Bowl yesterday?
I did. I went grocery shopping a little after halftime, so I missed a little bit, but I caught the ending, and it was, I think, the right team won.
Okay. Even though it was an epic collapse, from what I understand. I didn't actually watch the game, but I understand it was an epic collapse.
Epic might not be the word I would use.
Okay.
It was a collapse, but compared to the Falcons-Patriots a couple years ago, it was it wasn't that.
Which, like, oof, really not great for, what's his name, the head coach of the Niners? Wasn't he the offensive coordinator of that team,
so
too?
Yeah, so the last two Super Bowls has blown pretty big leads down the stretch.
Great, so, okay, don't want that guy back in the big game anytime soon. Well, as said, we are 1 month into 2020, a new year, a new decade, a totally futuristic-sounding 2020. And as last year was winding down, you know, it seemed like everywhere people were excited to turn the page, expressing how things had been challenging, but that they were hopeful, looking into the future with optimism, encouraged and focused, ready to begin anew. There was a palpable excitement that was felt at the end of 2019 for almost anyone. At least that's how it seemed to me, including me. Did it seem that way for you? How's your year going so far? 1 month in, how are you doing? Let us know. Leave a comment in the Facebook post here. What's one good thing that has happened to you so far this year in 2020? One thing you can hang your hat on. Because I'll tell you, 1 month in for me, if I'm being honest with you, and I don't know why I would show up here if I wasn't just going to be honest with you, I'm feeling conflicted, mixed, with both good and not so good being a part of that mix. But the show's about 2 minutes old, and I don't want to drag us down into the doldrums right here at the top, so let's start with the good. Let me share some of the good that I see going on in the bleeding disorders world. We've got some new leadership in the community. That's good. I like that. The board of the National Hemophilia Foundation announced at the end of last month that Dr. Len Valentino will take helm on February 17th, bringing more than 35 years of clinical and research experience to the role. Prior to his most recent work with Spark Therapeutics, he founded and led the Hemophilia and Thrombophilia. You don't hear that word nearly enough. Thrombophilia Center at Rush University Medical Center in Chicago. And likewise, the Hemophilia Federation of America announced Sharon Myers as its new president and CEO. Ms. Myers has 15 years of healthcare and university nonprofit leadership experience at the local, state, regional, and national level. She is a certified fundraising executive and holds a nonprofit management executive certificate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. And she's currently working on a doctorate in education at the University of Southern California in organizational change and leadership. So that's good. Congratulations to NHF, HFA, Dr. Valentino, Ms. Sharon Myers, and the National Bleeding Disorders Community on these exciting new developments, these two committed advocates and the new leadership roles that they have in our community. That's very good. There's also good taking place on behalf of the global community with things like Save One Life's Grand Canyon Adventure. What? That's right. Save One Life's Grand Canyon Adventure, taking place May 20th through the 22nd. You can join Save One Life board member and Birth With Intention founder Natalie Lynch, her husband, me, Everest Summiter and Save One Life executive director Chris Bombardier, and Save One Life founder and adventurer Lori Kelly, along with many others, for a once-in-a-lifetime fundraising trip below the rim of the Grand Canyon, a trip that will help raise critically needed funds to support children with hemophilia, living in poverty. To learn more and sign up, you can join my and Natalie's team. We could use the fundraising help. I have not really put in the effort yet. So if you just want to join the team and put in the effort for me, I would really welcome that. So you can go to saveonelife.net and click the fundraisers tab for more information. So there you go. Another good thing that's going on in 2020. And there's Breaking Through, the arts and musical theater workshop for teens, the program responsible for the show Hemophilia the Musical. It's currently casting for the Los Angeles and Chicago shows taking place later this year. In fact, the deadline to apply via BreakingThroughHemophilia.com was just pushed to Friday, February 7th. This national program is open to all high schoolers affected by bleeding disorders. So that's patients as well as siblings or children of people with hemophilia, von Willebrand disease, or other rare bleeding disorders. Visit BreakingThroughHemophilia.com to learn more and apply today. The deadline's Friday, the 7th. That's BreakingThroughHemophilia.com. So we're helping more teens break through hemophilia. You get it? Break, you got that one? Yeah. So that's good. That's good too. As is the Safety Summit that NHF and HFA just held in Washington, D.C. at the end of last month to discuss, educate, and communicate issues around the bleeding disorders product safety, or the product safety in the bleeding disorders world, rather. The summit was convened in response to a number of recalls and product safety notifications that were issued in 2019. I have not heard anything yet about that meeting, but we will certainly bring you updates on a future Bloodstream or Bloodstream Mini. But Patrick, what's a Bloodstream Mini? Oh, thanks so much for asking, fictional listener. As it's been since the summer of 2016, the third Monday of the month is our flagship Bloodstream episode, co-hosted by Natalie and me. But now in 2020, a good thing, each month will also feature one episode of Bloodstream Live, streamed here on Facebook and subsequently released as a podcast through the Bloodstream Podcast on Apple, Spotify, and all the podcast places. Each month will also feature 3 to 5 episodes of Bloodstream Minis, smaller, more narrowly focused episodes of Bloodstream, maybe a singular interview, maybe a 1 or 2 topic news discussion. Now, these episodes are going to be popping up as news breaks and opportunities present themselves, so be sure to subscribe to the Bloodstream Podcast. Bloodstream Minis are not on the same schedule as the rest, so if you want to be up to date on all the latest and greatest from the world of bleeding disorders, subscribe to the Bloodstream Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. So that's good too. More episodes means more communication and more stories about that which matters most to our community, which I should say is only possible thanks to the support of Takeda, Bloodstream's presenting sponsor. Thanks, Takeda. Visit bleedingdisorders.com to learn more about the resources Takeda offers the bleeding disorders community. I also got a dog, so that's good. That's very good, actually. Great. We can use great for the dog. I'm sure you can understand. His name is Russell. He's a puppy, so he loves chewing, peeing, pooping, running, and sleeping, mainly so far, anyway. And his internal motor seems to be living up to the reputation of his namesake, Russell Westbrook, so that, for one, makes me quite happy. That's a bunch of good stuff. And I'm sure you have had some good stuff happen, too. So, let me see, Greg, has anyone mentioned anything good that's happened to them yet in 2020, or do you have anything else that you can share for us, good things that have happened thus far in 2020?
Well, not yet. Nobody has commented on the Facebook Live as of yet, but no, there's been lots of good things. For one, I feel great.
Okay.
When health is wealth, and
health is wealth.
That's what matters right now. And what else has been good? The weather's been great.
Hey, man, welcome to the West Coast. Welcome to SoCal. This is life.
I'm eating good. Mm-hmm. Lots of acai bowls, at least once a week.
Nice.
Keeping me healthy.
Are you on the Booch program yet? You a kombucha guy yet?
I am a kombucha guy and also a hard kombucha guy.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, this is a family-friendly show. How about, are you a vegan?
I am not a vegan. I may want to be vegan.
Oh, well, yeah. I've been living that life for about 6 years, the wannabe vegan life, and might be another 6 before I actually take it on full time. But good. So that's good, man. You're right. Health is wealth. And I shouldn't complain too much, but 2020, it ain't been the bed of roses that my hopeful imagination vision cast it to be. Not yet. Anyway, Australia's been on fire. People are eating bats with viruses in them. One American political party excuses massive cheating while the other's having an identity crisis in Iowa as I speak. But Patrick, don't talk politics. That's not what we're here for. Listen, I watched the Taylor Swift documentary last night, okay? And the power of T-Swift has me feeling unmuzzled, empowered, and like I might just want a burrito. JK. Not about the burrito, though. If you do have a burrito, I would love that burrito. If you could just bring it. The door just looks like it may have opened, but it didn't include a burrito coming this way. Look, I can't sit here and tell you on one hand how important Washington Days is. The annual advocacy event in D.C., hosted by NHF, taking place this year, Feb 26th through the 28th. I can't tell you that that is so important for protecting critical patient rights as expressed by the Affordable Care Act. Shout out to Texas versus the U.S. for making life harder. I can't tell you that last year 450 volunteer advocates from over 47 states attended to meet with representatives because this stuff is important. And then on the other hand, hold back on productive dialogue that underscores the urgency and necessity of being politically active at this particular moment in history, especially as someone living with a high-cost chronic disease. Politics matters. Anyone telling you otherwise either doesn't like your point of view or doesn't get it. You know, I once heard that polite society doesn't discuss politics, religion, money, or sex. Which I find funny because last I checked, those four topics have a heavy hand in running the world. I wonder who benefits from shutting these conversations down. Not me. Not this hemo. I suffer from these conversations being shut down. So, I will tell you to go to hemophilia.org to learn more and register for Washington Days, and I will tell you to stay engaged through this election year, and I will tell you to vote, to tell your friends to vote, to tell everyone you know to vote, because people have fought and died to ensure every American has the right to vote, and because your vote impacts my life. In just a little while, I'll be joined by Ask the Expert podcast host Amy Bohr to talk about her work in life thus far in 2020. Maybe she has some highlights she can share for us. And we'll wrap up by taking some questions, if there are any, from you modest people out there on the Facebook Live thread. I mentioned earlier, I didn't watch the Super Bowl yesterday. But I got to be honest, I was thankful for its existence more so than ever before. Thank God for the Super Bowl. So that it could provide for people just a few hours of escapism when not even sports has had the power to pull us away from the real world. Not last week, anyway. The most anticipated NBA rookie in 15 years finally got to the court and he's dominating. I care about these things generally. But not last week. Didn't matter. Dame Lillard of the Portland Trail Blazers has become the first person to score like whatever it is, like 150,000 points and 2,700 assists in five straight games, something like that. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. Not right now. Not when it's happening a mere 7 days after losing a hero, a legend, a father, an advocate. Real talk, I bawled, not cried, bawled every day since Kobe died until yesterday. And I know no one tuning in to Bloodstream is here to hear me talking head or memorialize Kobe Bryant. There's plenty of other places for that. That's cool. And I respect the promise that you and I have about what I'm here to bring you. But part of that promise is honesty, authenticity. It's bringing you me, scars, flaws, fears, and all. And right now, the boy who grew up dreaming of basketball, who took finger roll layups for hours when Patrick Ewing's fateful miss crushed every mid-90s Knicks fan's hopes and dreams. Shout out to anybody who knows the exact moment I'm talking about. Greg, you don't count. I know you know. The boy who felt most alive when he finally overcame his inhibitor, went through a couple synovectomies, cleared HCV, and when he could finally dribble or bike to the nearest park to excitedly shout the three words that made me feel more normal than anything I've said then or since. I got next. Kobe's sudden passing also can't help but trigger deep feelings of abandonment for the three major deaths in my life in my early 20s. They took place suddenly, tragically, and without goodbye. The abandoned, gut-wrenching feeling of standing by the door with my suitcase, telling myself that dad's just running really late. A basketball legend didn't just die, but a hero, a role model, an artist of the hardwood, determined warrior who gave boys like me something to key into when the world around us let us down. Kobe wouldn't quit. He gave us thrills when we were dejected. I didn't know a person could do that. He gave us hope when the suitcase had nowhere to go. Kobe had nothing either, but he just kept going. When I was 13, I cut up some construction paper and made a paper sign that I taped above my bed, where it stayed for years. Another special three words. Why not me? Life will create chaos and bring pain. But short of it reintroducing me to my maker, I'm not letting it answer why not me. For me, No one and nothing should ever, ever stop any of us from going after the thing that makes us feel most alive. That's Mamba mentality. Kobe taught me that. And millions of others, too. So thank you, Kobe. And thank you for listening. Just needed to get that off my chest. I feel a little lighter already. And now, with that, I would like to welcome in, from the Ask the Expert podcast, Believe Limited's Director of Outreach, who, if I'm lucky, will be standing right behind the door in front of me. She's got her on-brand mug and all. Amy Ford has entered the studio with a calm, cool, casual attitude that I have a lot of respect for. Welcome, Amy. How are you?
Hello. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thanks for being on the first Bloodstream Live.
It was very good to hear that little, not little, but your personal tribute to Kobe.
Well, thanks. I was really impressed that you didn't feel the need to burst in during the T-Swift moment.
I almost did.
Okay.
And I am a huge T-Swift fan, and the fact that you watched that documentary before me, I haven't watched it yet. I've been traveling,
really?
Mm-hmm, and I have a boyfriend who's not a T-Swift fan, so it's dicey
in our household.
Yeah. However, he wants to watch it, but yeah, I'm psyched.
Do you guys have to trade off, like, I'll watch your T-Swift documentary if you'll watch, like, the nature show where the guy does errands outside or something?
Yeah, he watches a lot of Alaska. I know a lot of Alaska stories now. Mm. I've also seen Tremors and John Wick.
Oh, wow. What did
so
you think
I'm
of Tremors?
Due. Tremors was spectacular. John Wick was also spectacular.
No, I want to talk about Tremors because that's the one that's like 35 years old. I think that's what's most interesting to people. Tell me more about Tremors.
Have you seen Tremors?
When I was 9.
It has Kevin. First of all, it has post Footloose Kevin Bacon.
True.
So he looks great in jeans. It's everything that you need.
We may have different needs.
True. I'm trying to remember. It was several weeks ago. It was disgusting. Like, the monster was disgusting. If you haven't seen Tremors, you really need to see Tremors.
It is worthwhile. So, well, how was your weekend this past weekend? You guys watched the Super Bowl? I know you were away for the weekend because you had work.
Yeah, it was a full weekend. We had a Bombardier blood screening in Cleveland, Ohio, which was lovely. We haven't, done a Bombardier blood screening in several weeks, so it was lovely to get back out.
Yeah, which is feels strange for us after the gauntlet of a schedule we had established.
And
for
actually,
ourselves.
I got a text from Chris and Jess Bombardier saying something about the film, and I was like, I could recite it for you at this point if you would just like, let's FaceTime and I'll start it and from the beginning. So anyway, that was lovely. But Cleveland was great. Good food, wonderful people. It was really lovely. And then we watched the Super Bowl. We did the Super Bowl thing. We like made burgers and tots. And
you had delicious buffalo chicken too. I had a little bit of that before I left.
Heck yeah.
Man, that's Seth Kirshner. He knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing when it comes to crockpots.
You heard me just talking about 2020 so far. And, you know, I don't mean to overblow it, but it did seem like at the end of 2019, there was just such high expectations and hopes and aspirations. And at the end of every year, every New Year's, there's a certain amount of that. But it was coming into 2020, a new decade. Mm-hmm. It sounds like the future. Mm-hmm. It is an election year. There's so much newness. And then, like, right off the bat, there's just been a number of, mm-hmm. like, things that have risen to a national consciousness that are not ignorable that have put a giant damper on the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to remind myself of the good. I'm trying to ask Greg about all of his good mm-hmm. stories. What about you? What's been good so far about 2020 for you, 34 days in so far?
I think the coolest thing for me in 2020, I have officially turned a new leaf. So I have made my official move to Los Angeles. I am now a California resident. It's February? I'm wearing Birkenstocks.
Me too.
There's a legitimate snowstorm, like an ice snowstorm in my hometown of Denver right now.
We just escaped it.
Okay, great. And anyways, I was just talking to my mother today and it's gorgeous. It's like, it's cold. It's a little chilly here today, but I'm wearing Birkenstocks. But it's lovely to feel settled. I don't think it's been interesting looking back on last year, really realizing how unsettled I felt. New job, new responsibilities, new town. I was in and out of LA last year. A lot of travel. Hmm. I lost my dog last year.
Yeah.
So that was, and you know, her passing was coming, you know, it was,
sure.
So there was expected grief that was actual grief leading up to it. So it was a really interesting year of not to get too heavy, but it was a really interesting year of so many new wonderful things, and like grieving the loss of, you know, my dog, who was my family for so long, and my hometown, you know. And this, it's just been refreshing to realize that I wasn't crushed under that. I think I had some fear that I would never be able to let go, in particular with my hometown of Denver. And it just feels nice to enjoy a new place. It's been really lovely. Nothing is taken away from my beloved hometown, but just to be in a new place has been really lovely. So that's been the year. That's been 2020 so far. It's been nice.
Given the amount of travel that you did last year, and obviously you've been a part of this community for 8+ years now, 9, maybe 10, I don't know. Was there anything that coming into the year you were, from a community-facing standpoint, excited about or curious about or most interested in following in 2020? Anything like that based on the amount of traveling around and picking up on what was on people's minds and what's getting brought up at meetings? Like, what were people carrying into this year from your perspective?
I think the thing that I picked up the most was that people are so interested in connecting with community members from across the country and across the globe, personally, relationally, and deeply. I expected, being a podcast host, that they would come up and tell me, well, I would like to hear from this physician, or I would like to hear about this topic. The majority of them wanted to talk to me personally. They wanted to meet other people.
It wasn't about the topic. It was about
you. It wasn't about the topic. And I think there is such an isolation in a way that it just feels so good to be able to talk to somebody who understands and listens.
Yeah, sure.
And it's a need, and it was really lovely. Going to the Bombardier blood screenings, people really connected with us, not being you or Chris. They really connected with the mission and the story, and it was really lovely.
Good.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask Greg in a moment, once again, if anyone does have anything they have shared on the comments that we want to talk about here. But before we do that, you are the Ask the Expert podcast host. And I talked at the beginning about some of the changes to Bloodstream. We're going to have the lives. We're going to have minis. There's going to be maybe 5-6 episodes. I actually have in my little notebook here scribbled. According to my scribbled notes, we have 10 total podcasts being released throughout February and 10 in March. So, hiya. Actually, that math might not be totally right. The March is definitely right. I see 10, but maybe it's less than February. We're ramping up quick. And Ask the Expert, what does ramping up look like? What's new this year with Ask the Expert?
Well, the thing that I am most excited about with Ask the Expert is that we're adding another layer. So the full-blown interview or the full-blown conversation is actually going to be 2 listens. So it's going to be released on the same week. It's going to be released on the Monday and Thursday of the week. So the same time that Ask the Expert is released now, which is the 4th Monday and then the 4th Thursday. And we're expanding the episode a little bit to get more of the scientific bulk topic covered in the first episode, and we want to expand more into the personal relational aspect of things in the second episode. A lot of times I feel like we have these wonderful people on and we just pump them with information. We want to know very specifically about information, but you come away as a listener not feeling comfortable enough to go up and maybe engage with them at a conference, at an HTC. And
oh, that's interesting. Is that kind of how you're thinking a little bit? Like, I want my listeners to be comfortable enough to approach these individuals if they were ever to see them. I want them to have that level of comfort with who's on the show.
Well, and when I first came to work for you, Patrick, one of the things that I wanted to do was I wanted to humanize some of these physicians. And of course, you know, we have a lot of guests on Ask the Expert that are not physicians. But when I was the executive director, one of the things that gave me the most joy was humanizing our physicians. So people really felt comfortable to like laugh and enjoy and talk about skiing or the Denver Broncos or what have you. And I think there's beauty in that because, you know, these people are going to be, it's a good practice. These clinical health people, physicians, clinicians, experts in their field are going to be a part of your life forever, whether you have hemophilia or not. And being able to engage with a physician on a human level will change the relationship. It just will. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here in my chair and think that Ask the Expert is going to do that for everybody. But I think to humanize our guests and to have them discuss a little bit, not only, I mean, we will ask about their personal interests, but I think more so we'll ask about their personal opinions about the topic that we're discussing. It's fascinating. You know, one of the things that I've enjoyed in the relationships with the physicians that I love, that have mentored me, that have guided me, is that they will very candidly talk to me about what they think about certain things. Mm. And it helps my worldview, and it helps me put things into perspective. And so it'll just be nice to, you know, have a factual, you know, scientific conversation, and then to kind of go a little bit personal and discuss some things that, you know, you might not get on a normal Ask the Expert episode.
It's interesting you say that on the heels of mentioning people wanting to engage with you or with Rob, and it being about the connection to another person they know from the community, not so much necessarily the topic.
Yeah.
I hear the consistency of, with Ask the Expert, seeking to bring more of that individual into what the audience's takeaway is. And I think, too, by having, you know, we interview people sometimes who are tentative about wanting to say the wrong thing or mm-hmm. too much, or give their opinion because mm-hmm. they are an expert and they're mm-hmm. concerned about it being misinterpreted. Mm-hmm. So I think you're dividing the two up into mm-hmm. here is the, like, expert discussion, and mm-hmm. here's that more relational piece.
Mm-hmm.
I hope, and even helping frame it explicitly that way for our guests, I hope it helps them feel comfortable opening up, knowing that we're framing it as such.
Yeah.
This is who you are. We're letting people know who you are.
Yeah.
I one other thing I want to share with you quickly here before we start to move into the wrap up. You know, you're talking about getting accustomed to LA was making me think about, I've been thinking about identity a lot recently. It's the theme of our Bloodstream Journeys episode from this month or last, the most recent one that's up right now, Bloodstream Journeys podcast. And identity is such a funny thing. Like, I'm from Colorado, but, you know, now I live here. And when people ask me, like, where are you from? People don't know me. Every time I have to think about it. Well, I live in Los Angeles. I'm from New York. I went to school in Boston, and then I moved to, like, my identity, mm-hmm. Like, almost rejects the simplistic nature of that question. And I bring this up, you know, I was at my HTC like 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and I brought up to my doc, I was like, you know, I just had blood work done not too long ago, and I'm like, you know, I always show the antibodies for hepatitis C, because like when I would, because I did have it, and I cleared it, but also like I'm supposed to keep an eye on it, and I realized I was very unclear about a pretty major part of my own health, and something that I had previously been clear on a few years ago. In fact, I'm speaking about it in a Believe Limited video that we released about like having cleared HCV naturally. And I'm at my doctor's office like 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, wait, so I hepatitis C went into my body and I cleared it? And she was like, yeah, that happens in 25% of the cases. That's what happened to you. I'm like, really, huh? And I was like very emotional about it. I talked to my mom about it. I went home and telling Natalie about it. And I'm like going on and on and on. And then she's like, wow, yeah, no, that's a lot. I don't mean to be reductive or dismissive at all, but didn't we already know this? And I was like, yeah, no, we don't. She's like, is anything new? I was like, no, nothing's new. It doesn't mean anything. But like, I forgot, because we engage with people in this community on a daily basis for whom the contamination crisis and being infected mm-hmm. with HIV and hepatitis has meant something far more meaningful to their life journey mm-hmm. than it has mine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't consider myself someone who was affected, but like, empirically speaking, I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrestle with that identity, because I don't even feel like I have claim to feelings associated with contaminated blood product. But I found myself 2 weeks ago, or a week and a half ago, whatever, it was like getting a little bit angry.
Mm.
It's like, I know the story. I know the whole thing. Why am I getting angry about this now?
Yeah.
Because some part of me has not let myself like appreciate that part of my identity.
Mm.
So that was kind of an interesting thing. And listening to the podcast, you know, I don't know what effect that may have had, but I was really struck how like each of those three people's stories, like the role of identity mm-hmm. in how each of us moves through this world, it is critical. And yet when we speak about identity, when I hear about it culturally, it's thrown around as a kind of nimble term, which I guess your identity is nimble, but it gets tossed around casually. you know. And I feel like it's so important to respect how people identify with a certain thing, because it's how that individual is telling you they mm-hmm. perceive the world and their mm-hmm. place in it. Mm-hmm. Whether you have a different viewpoint on it or not is a separate discussion. Mm-hmm. That's that person sharing something. Mm-hmm. So I don't have a question at the end of this. I just felt inclined to share all that because you just reminded me of that and talking about your coming over from Colorado and that identity mm-hmm. shift.
It is a bit of an identity shift. I think I've never felt comfortable in an identity and in a way. Never felt that when I was an actor, struggled with it when I was an executive director. I think I felt the weight of it. And coming here, I still don't know how to explain my job.
Let me know if you find out.
Okay, great. So I do struggle with that. I feel like in a way I don't have the extra questions of illness or race to struggle with. You know, that is something that or sexual preference. I feel like I am very privileged in that way. And so I just, you know, I think it is such a an important thing to wrestle with. And I wonder if anyone ever feels comfortable in an identity for a long extended period of time. It's getting kind of deep, but, you know, we're all evolving in a way. And that's just kind of, that's interesting. I still don't feel like I have any, you know, foundation to step on, but
well, this city in particular though is a bit unique.
It
right?
is so like, unique.
From a we're talking from a high level. Practically speaking, LA is a little unique when it comes to establishing a footing and feeling a sense of home. I think it takes a little more work, frankly, than in a lot of other places because it must be built for oneself. There's so much chaos to how this place works and so much that's unusual that I have found it important to establish what home means to me, whereas there are other places where it kind of just stumbles into living there.
Yeah.
It doesn't just stumble into living here. You have to make an effort.
Yeah.
That's what
absolutely.
I found anyway. All right, Greg, we got anybody who has anything to say to us through the comments here?
Yes. Judy Walsh from Moon Township, Pennsylvania, with a family with von Willebrand's disease, says that there's nothing to report on thus far, but hearing good things for the future. Mostly thankful how NHF cares for our bleeding family. Good luck to our new leaders.
It is really exciting to have new leadership. And to say nothing of like where each organization and previous leadership was, newness is exciting. And I happen to think, I mean, personally, as best I know, Sharon Myers and Leonard Valentino, I think those are great choices. So I'm also, you know, VWD, I feel like each year that that Believe has been operating, this being year 9, the awareness of VWD and its uniquenesses and the medical advancements, we keep seemingly taking steps further year by year by year. So, Judy, hopefully 2020 will have more good news for you.
And I'm encouraged that you feel cared for, you know, by our national organizations. And I hope by your local organizations as well. Man, as a leadership, we stumble to be able to care for everybody. And I mean, it's human nature. And I think some people are in the throes of that right now and not feeling cared for. And just to continue voicing your concern in a respectful, kind, yet firm way is so very important. And I love that she feels cared for.
Yeah, me too. Well said. What else we got, Greg?
That is it so far.
Greg, can people see you when you talk, or are they just hearing
they
you?
They are just hearing me, which I'm not sure how they feel about that.
Wow.
Maybe my face will make an appearance.
How do you feel about not seeing Greg? You can comment about that as well if you so choose to. Or you can check out the Philly Famous podcast if you want to hear and see Greg. There's a video podcast, too, that you can check out. Well, I see our time. We're drawing to a close. Amy, I'm going to say to you, thank you so much for dropping in here, being a part of the first Bloodstream Live, sharing some of Ask the Expert with us, and just chatting with me about life and bleeding disorders.
Absolutely.
Thank you to Greg and to Allison silently behind the camera over here, as well as to Josh, Rob, Colby, Avra. I'm going to have to name everybody now. Jama, Christina, who am I leaving out? Help me out. Everybody who works at Believe Limited, Ryan Gill. He's the co-founder. Okay. Oh, man, I almost lost my job. He's the one guy I can't do that to. Thank you to the whole team. We're trying something new. If you liked this, please let us know. Leave a comment. Send Amy or I a message. Check out the Ask the Expert podcast. Subscribe to it everywhere podcasts are, as well as Bloodstream everywhere podcasts are, and Bloodstream Journeys. The latest episode on identity, in case you didn't know, is one that I think is quite good. We'll be back next month with another live. We'll be back much sooner with many more episodes. So subscribe, stay tuned, and thanks so much for listening.